The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
you, Lord Christ. You may be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Misericordius Domini, literally, the merciful heart of the Lord. Before Sundays were given numbers, today is the fourth Sunday of Easter. They had names. Names that were taken from the initial words, in Latin, of the introit appointed for the Sunday. The Sunday on which today's Gospel was read, what is commonly called Good Shepherd Sunday today, was then known as Misericordius Domini Sunday. A Sunday whose theme was, literally, the merciful heart of the Lord, or as the introit read in English, the goodness of the Lord. Misericordius Domini, or Good Shepherd Sunday. Merciful Heart of the Lord Sunday is probably the richer and more evocative of the two. The wonderful theme of God as the shepherd of his people received its first extended treatment in Scripture in David's beloved Shepherd Psalm. Later on, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and the prophet Zechariah each used the metaphor, reshaping it somewhat for their context, in order to proclaim God's great love for and caring activity on behalf of his people. Each of the Gospels picks up this description of God, particularly God incarnate, Jesus Christ, as the shepherd who seeks after and saves his lost and vulnerable sheep. The high point of Scripture's identification of God as shepherd, however, comes in John chapter 10. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." These words, and Jesus' action in accomplishing them, are the most explicit, most tangible evidence possible of the merciful heart of the Lord, of his steadfast love and tender mercy for you and for me. To an extent, it was already there in Psalm 23. Behind the familiar phrase, "He restores my soul," the words David wrote have the connotation of, "He brings me back," or, "He causes me to repent." The sheep whose soul the Lord restores is a sheep which has been lost and is terrified. Once a sheep knows that it is lost, it tries to hide under a bush or rock and begins trembling and bleating. Just the thing to attract a hungry predator. Thus, it's vital that the shepherd of that sheep find it quickly. Unfortunately, once he's found it, the sheep is often too traumatized to walk, so the shepherd has to lift it up and carry it back to the flock. So you see the phrase, "He restores my soul," already conveyed the idea of the shepherd, that is, of the Lord, selflessly sacrificing to rescue his sheep and bring it back again to the flock. "I am the good shepherd," Jesus says. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Why? The merciful heart of the Lord. Nothing else. That's what compels the Lord to take this most extreme action, to exercise this unparalleled love. It is certainly this wonderful truth that explains why throughout the first 4 centuries of her history, the image of the Good Shepherd predominated above any other in the art and the comfort of the church. The merciful heart of the Lord stands out even more when Jesus contrasts his own self-sacrifice, his laying down his life for the sheep, with the actions of the hired hand. Neither being their shepherd nor owning the sheep, the hired hand flees when he sees the wolf coming, leaving the sheep to be snatched and scattered and killed. The wolf of whom Jesus speaks here can't be any other than Satan, who is ever prowling around, looking to pick off the sheep who have wandered from their shepherd, who are weak and alone, and thus prime targets for his predation. Satan uses a two-pronged tactic when he attacks Christ's sheep. First, he downplays sin when he tempts you. What's the big deal? It's just a little thing, hardly worth a second thought. And you know, it's nothing everyone else isn't doing anyway. Then when you've fallen for his lies, when you've once again done what you wanted never to do again, he accuses with a vengeance with the goal of causing you to despair. "Now you've done it," he rails. "God said, do, and you didn't. He said, don't, and you did. You worthless, good-for-nothing scum. There's no hope for you now. God will never be willing to forgive you for that." Only the good shepherd can protect you from Satan's temptations and accusations. When you hear your shepherd's word, you're hearing the truth. There is no safe sin, no transgression so minor that you can commit it without earning death and damnation for it. Nevertheless, it's also true that if you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. When you hear your shepherd's voice and depend on the truth he proclaims, you can meet Satan's accusations echoing Martin Luther. "You're right, Satan," you can say. "I've done all those things, it's true. But you missed my unfaithfulness there, and my lie here, and you could have mentioned my coveting as well. But none of these sins can harm me now. Why? Not because of anything about me, but because I have a Savior, Jesus Christ. He paid for each and every one of my sins when he laid down his life for me. God's wrath against my sin was exhausted when Jesus died. It is finished," he said. I am free. Jesus shed his blood for me. This is the voice of the shepherd which his sheep know and love to hear. They'll follow it anywhere, even if it leads to death and the grave. They know that for their shepherd, death is not the end. When his way leads into the grave, it keeps right on going through the grave and on into life everlasting. After all, the good shepherd, the one who leads and guides and guards you, received authority from his Father to lay down his life for you and also to take it up again. Jesus didn't die the way every other person crucified died, by slow asphyxiation, gasping for breath in the end. No, he had plenty of breath up to his dying moment. He called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And then, as an act of his will, he yielded up his spirit. It was as he says, "No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again." And that's precisely what he did. In accordance with God's set plan and purpose, what he did for you and for your salvation, that is the merciful heart of the Lord in action. But there's one more thing Jesus says in our text, without which none of the rest would have made any difference. Very simply, you're included. It doesn't matter if you aren't a descendant of Abraham, one of the children of Israel. You don't have to be to have Jesus as your shepherd. "I have other sheep that are not of this fold," he says. And here he's talking about you and me, heirs of Abraham not by physical descent, but through faith in God's promises. Faith which God accounts to you, as he did to Abraham, as righteousness. "I have other sheep that are not of this fold," Jesus says. "I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. I must bring them also," he said. And he has. He called you by the gospel. You heard his voice from your parents, grandparents, Sunday school teachers, and pastors. His words were combined with the water by which you became a child of God, and thus also an heir of heaven. He continues to speak to you in his word, leading you in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He commands you, "You shall and you shall not," warning you, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." But most of all, promising, "For his sake, warfare ended, iniquity pardoned, and double for all your sins, double mercy, double forgiveness, double love, double joy, double life." Even today, the precious voice of your good shepherd speaks to kill you with his law, to cause you to die to sin. But he kills you in this way, chastises and corrects you, for one reason only, to cause you to turn to him and rely on him, so that he can raise you up again through his word of forgiveness. Thus, the merciful heart of the Lord continues to be evident and active, as through word and sacrament he works day by day to preserve you as his own. As a result, in the end, with his flock, he will shelter you with his presence, guide you to springs of living water, and wipe away every tear from your eyes. The Lord is your shepherd indeed. Your good, better yet, your most excellent shepherd, who laid down his life for you. Because of this, you will not want. He will not leave you needy. Goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. And then, when this life is ended, you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's true, for the merciful heart of the Lord reaches out in Jesus Christ to you. Thank God. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.